Yes, Carson is the quarterback going forward. And in Nick's case, listen, we'd love to have everybody back throughout the roster. But as I've said many, many times, you know, it's not about one guy. You know, it's about the team, and we're going to do what's best for the team. I go back to, you know, the year 2017. Carson had a full offseason. He was healthy. And he was able to go through OTAs and gather that timing and rhythm and everything that led into this season and the MVP-type season that he was having in 2017 before the injury. Obviously, fast forward to last offseason, he didn't have that. He didn't have that offseason with his teammates. He was rehabbing. He was going through that process, and he missed obviously training camp. There were some specialty situations, as you know, like 7-on-7s and things like that we got him out there. But I do think that those can, you know, you're talking about quarterbacks and receivers, quarterbacks and running backs, and there's a timing. There's a relationship that you got to have, and when you miss that time, it will affect the overall big picture of things. And so I think what you saw this season, as the season progressed, got better and better and better, and his numbers got better, and the completion percentage got better, and so that time lost was what he had to make up.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Carson Wentz is the face of the franchise moving forward. Welcome into the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. It's Louis DiBiase joining you on this Tuesday edition of the show alongside Gino Camilleri, my co-host as always. Gino, it's done. The Foles-Wentz, pretty much the debate that we've been having for the past couple months, only lasted a couple days into the offseason. Quickly, Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman named Carson Wentz the guy. You got to be feeling pretty good about it.
Were you shocked?
No, I wasn't shocked at all. I mean, me and you, we've been on Team Wentz all the way, and we're not anti-Foles, but like, this is exactly what me and you have been saying for months, what was going to happen. It was so obvious. They clearly didn't even have a discussion. There was no... Some people were maybe speculating Howie might be Team Foles, Peterson might be Team Wentz. This clearly was never questioned.
Yeah, I mean, are you really going to give up on a guy that you gave substantial draft compensation for and a guy who you've dubbed as your franchise quarterback that Jeffrey Lurie has put his two cents in to get you in as the quarterback? Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson and Frank Reich and John DeFilippo all pushed to have as their quarterback. I was shocked, not in the slightest. We'll go with that. But yeah, it's good. It's good to hear that Carson is the guy. And Nick Foles, like, they did everything in their power. He's going to get the starting job that he wanted. And I think both sides are happy. Carson and Nick love each other. Doesn't matter what people outside the organization say. You know that they're good friends, and they both want to see each other succeed. And Nick has done his part to earn a starting job, and all power to him. Everybody in Philadelphia should be thankful we had Nick Foles, and he's never going to have to buy a beer again when he comes to Philadelphia, and that's just a fact.
Yeah, I'm glad me and you at least got to, because a lot of people weren't enjoying this run, so I wasn't so pro-Wentz that I'm like, I need this team to lose in the first round or not make the playoffs so that they don't question Carson Wentz as the quarterback at all. Luckily, me and you saw it for what it was. We enjoyed the Foles ride. We appreciated what it was, understanding what kind of a lightning-in-a-bottle quarterback he is. And, you know, I shouldn't even just say that. I feel like he proved not that he's a better quarterback than Carson Wentz moving forward, but that he should be a pretty damn good starting quarterback in the NFL next year. And I really hope that he can go to a team like Jacksonville, or who knows, maybe it's Denver, Miami. I hope to God it's not in the NFC East. I don't think he would do that. Although, you know, the Giants are a pretty attractive option when you talk about, whatever, I don't even want to think about it. But regardless, I'm glad me and you at least got to enjoy this, because there were some people that were so into the debate that they weren't really just enjoying the ride for what it was as the last run for Nick Foles, who is the first quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl for the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's still the right move for Carson Wentz and the Eagles. And for Nick Foles, again, we're really glad he's going to get a starting job elsewhere. This is the right move for right now and in the future. It's not something that just, oh, Carson Wentz is younger and that's the only reason we're doing this. No, this is the right move for right now, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot just forget, we can't ignore what happened in 2017, where the Eagles were, what, 11-2 with Carson Wentz? It's not like suddenly Carson Wentz is going to come in and we're back to being a rebuilding team that's young and up and coming. No. They were the one seed with Carson Wentz in. This is the right move for now and the future.
Yeah, there's that clip that you shared and I tweeted on Twitter from Colin Cowherd, who said that the Eagles handled this quarterback situation better than any other team has in the NFL. Yeah. And he mentioned the whole Brady Garoppolo thing and how that got tense towards the end. Nobody outside of Philadelphia or inside of the NovaCare complex even listened to these crazy rumors. I think everybody knew the situation. Nick knew he wasn't the guy, and Carson knew that he was the guy, but they weren't at odds with each other. They empowered each other. You hear those stories from Howie and Doug saying how they help each other in the QB room and they help each other on the sidelines, and that's exactly what you want out of your quarterback room. This isn't like reality television. There's no need to create this false narrative that there's drama. This is the NFL. These are grown men. Like, this is their job. They want to see somebody in their jersey succeed just as another individual in the same jersey. It's not like Carson played for the Cowboys and Nick played for the Eagles and they hate each other. Like, they're on the same team. They're good friends. They've made it known that they're very good friends, and it's great to see that they're leaving on good terms, and that Nick deserves this chance. Time and time again, we've said it, that he should be a starting quarterback in the NFL, and he's finally going to get that opportunity. And one thing I want to say is that the Eagles aren't the only team to be at odds in this whole Nick Foles situation. Every team in the NFL had the chance to sign him when he was cut by the Rams. He got picked up by the Chiefs, let go by the Chiefs, and once again, everybody had a chance to sign him, and the Eagles took that opportunity. So why are we blaming Philadelphia when every other team in the league had a chance to sign this guy and to get him into their building? The fact is, nobody could evaluate him, and finally there's tape enough to evaluate him for what he is, and they finally got they're hopefully going to get something for him. That would be the goal, but if he wants to walk in free agency, he deserves every power to go somewhere where he would like to play, because, hey, he did something no quarterback in Eagles history has done and brought us a Super Bowl.
Yeah, look, I think, again, he has done enough over the past 2 years. With this playoff run, it definitely solidified himself as a good starting quarterback in football that has the ability to be big-time legendary in big moments. We can't ignore the inconsistencies. Not to knock Foles, but look at the last two games. Look at these playoff games against the Bears and the Saints. He stepped up in big drives in the important moments of both games, but the inconsistencies really cost them, especially in the Saints game. Nick Foles was one of the main reasons, truthfully, that they lost that football game. There were a lot of overthrows, there were a lot of underthrows. You kind of saw the Nick Foles experience against the Saints firsthand, and even against the Bears, where there's a lot of times where he's making a head-scratching play, and then suddenly in a big moment, he steps up. That's who he is, but it's not what Carson Wentz. Look, we know what we've seen in Carson Wentz. I just think he is a top-tier quarterback when he's healthy every single year. His inconsistent season, which he was hurt, by the way, which people like to tend to ignore, it resulted in career highs in a lot of categories. When we're talking about completion percentage and passer rating and his touchdown-interception ratio was great, 21-7. I feel like, you know, didn't Carson Wentz get more accurate this season? You don't see the, again, there's high, we say it all the time, high highs and low lows with Nick Foles, and I just, outside of injuries, don't see a lot of lows with Carson Wentz. I just feel like he's going to be one of the best players in this league for a decade, and that's not to diminish what Nick Foles is, even right now. It's not even just, I don't want to label him anything. I don't want to make it seem like I think he's a backup. He just, to me, is not what Carson Wentz is going to be, not just what he is right now, but I just know that the Eagles have a special talent, and there's no way. I'm sorry. Even if there was like this crazy trade scenario I'm seeing thrown around where Wentz would have commanded, you know, 2 first-round picks and maybe a great pass rusher, like Denver maybe gives up Von Miller and 2 firsts, there is nothing that I would take right now for Carson Wentz. I just think he's that special, and I'm glad the team recognizes that. It had to have been a tough call. It's not that it's a tough call choosing Wentz over Foles, but it's got to be a tough call not having Nick Foles with the team anymore, because it doesn't mean he's not a special talent as well.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday, that this really solidifies that they want to be winners making this decision, and it wasn't really a tough decision. You know that you're going to have to pay Carson Wentz. You can't keep Nick Foles for another year at $20 million. Your cap isn't the greatest, but it's also not the worst, so you need to get him off your books. He wasn't going to stick around more than 2 years at the amount they were going to pay him, and they've been developing Nate Sudfeld to be the next guy in line, and they did that for a reason, to bring him in, because they saw his talent and saw that he could be a potential replacement for Nick Foles, and he's going to be exactly that. Hopefully they re-sign him as an RFA. They have the rights to him first, so I'm sure they're going to make that a priority. But let's dispel some of these rumors that people like to say about Carson Wentz. Like, one thing, he isn't clutch. That's the most ridiculous thing ever. He won. He clinched a playoff berth against the Rams in Los Angeles with a torn ACL, throwing a franchise-breaking touchdown pass to Alshon Jeffrey. He's led multiple comebacks over multiple seasons. In that Baltimore game his rookie year, they should have won that game. He's done it time and time again that he's been clutch. In college, he won multiple national championships. You go into talking about his long ball. His long ball accuracy was just as good as Nick Foles if you look at any metrics. He did it on a broken freaking back. That takes a lot. Just I've played in like softball games or baseball games where like my back is a little tight and I definitely lose some feet when you're throwing the ball.
It's gotta be hard launching a 50-yard bomb down the field when you have a stress fracture in your back.
When you have like 2 tons of men trying to take you down, like, yeah, that's probably pretty difficult. And like the things about throwing to Alshon, he throws it just as much to Alshon as he does to Nick Foles. You saw the game plan, how it was different from Nick Foles to get Alshon in those different areas. And all these narratives can just be put away when he does come back. And the thing is, you're going to see so many people hopping off this bandwagon. Oh, Nick Foles is the guy, yada, yada. Come this time next year, like when we're playing into deep January, Nick Foles just came off like a 40 touchdown and 12 interception season. Nobody's going to be talking, or did I say Nick Foles? I meant Carson Wentz. Sorry about that. But yeah, Carson Wentz. Look, you have a team that was riddled by injuries. You had a defense that wasn't playing up to standard. You had a quarterback who was injured. You have 9 going to be probably over 10 draft picks in this year. You're going to have some free agents walk, but they have enough talent in-house to continue to prosper and develop, and they're only going to continue to bring in weapons. Look, you have 10 picks. Realistically, you're going to try and bring in 5 guys on the offense with those picks.
And you're going to have good cap. You're not going to have the terrible cap space that a lot of people are saying. They're going to roughly, when you talk about just a couple moves with Nick Foles' contract off the books, probably Jason Peters, and then say Chris Long retires, they're going to have roughly around $20 million in open cap space to use this offseason. So this is a team that they're going to get better next year. Let me ask you a question before we take a quick break here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. To me, I don't think you can ignore, it's not to discredit what Foles did down the stretch, because I think having a healthy quarterback,
we appreciated Foles. Yeah, like, that's 100%. We're not going to go against him.
But how we can't ignore how good the team elevated their play down the stretch. Like, we know how different that offensive line looked from, you know, let's go back to the game that sticks out to me that they really struggled was the Minnesota game. From that up until that Rams game, it was a totally different unit. Doug Peterson, the way, you know, having a healthy quarterback, that's really all it was, because when Wentz was healthy, he was pushing the ball to Alshon Jeffrey. You remember the Titans game and the Panthers game? Wentz and Alshon were clicking. The Giants Thursday night football game. A lot of it had to do with just the health. And once they had a healthy quarterback in, which was Nick Foles, the offense was able to open up. Foles plays really good with this team, this Eagles team of 2017 and 2018. But this isn't going to be what the Eagles look like every year for the next 10 years. And for me, I'm convinced that as long as Carson Wentz is your quarterback for the next 10 years, he's going to keep you relevant and keep you in playoff contention. Whereas could Foles, I'm not going to say he can't, but Wentz much more than Foles elevates the play of his guys around him than Nick Foles. I just think he's again, not a knock on Foles, but Wentz is just such a special talent, and he's the younger guy, and he's just more talented, and I'm glad the Eagles made this move. I love Nick Foles forever. I think they're going to retire his number. Right now, I'd like to make the argument he's the most accomplished Eagles quarterback in NFL history, but Carson Wentz is the guy, and Doug Peterson announced it today. Let's take a quick break here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. When we come back, me and Gino, we're going to talk about the pressure now for Carson Wentz, because there was one particular group of Eagles fans this year that were very pro Nick Foles, and if next year isn't panning out the way that maybe we think it will, What are those fans going to say? How are they going to react specifically towards Carson Wentz? That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri. Gino, there's a monkey on Carson Wentz's back now. He recognized it in his press conference when he talked to the media the other day. It's even bigger this year compared to last year because Nick Foles not only won a Super Bowl, then the following year he takes the 6-7 Eagles, wins three straight games, then wins a playoff game, and is a drive away from making the NFC Championship game. The monkey is even bigger on Carson Wentz's back this year. But I feel like this is the last person that it would destroy. A lot of other players would crumble under the pressure that's going to be on Wentz next year, and I don't think that's going to be the case for Wentz.
No, not at all. And he's been in a scenario like this in college when he broke his wrist. They were playing good football, and he comes back and wins a national championship. This guy thrives under pressure. Let's go back to 2016. You look at the weapons they had. Lou, do you want to just run through some of the wide receivers that were on that team?
Are we talking about the 2016 team?
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. Dorial Green-Beckham. We had Josh Huff.
Yep.
Number 81, Jordan Matthews. Number 17, Nelson Aguilar, which is a totally different, just a different human being compared to number 13, Nelson Aguilar. And the only really viable option they had was Zach Ertz. Oh, and who was our running back? Ryan Matthews?
Yeah. So let's put that into perspective. If they had to throw out Sam Bradford that year, do you think they go 7-9?
No, they probably win like five games, four games.
Okay. Another scenario. Do you think if Carson Wentz was in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady at the rate he was playing, that game might have been a couple more scores in the Eagles' favor? Because that's one thing that I've always thought. And now you saw what he did with a broken back and an offense that still wasn't healthy coming off an offseason where he didn't even get to practice until almost August. Give this guy a complete offseason. Let him get healthy. Let him build a rapport with these receivers more than he already has. Bring him in some more offensive weapons. You could bring in a running back in the draft. Maybe you sign somebody like TJ Yeldon, or you bring in other weapons like maybe a Cordarrelle Patterson as a gadget type guy to get in space. Yeah, you never know. That's a name that could be on the team. Who knows? But you give him more offensive weapons. You do what teams like did with Aaron Rodgers when he had the Jordy Nelson and the Randall Cobbs of the world, and Tom Brady when he had a Randy Moss. Just continue to bring in these top-end weapons and let him succeed. He's going to succeed. I know he elevates the play of many guys. We were talking about this week three. I know Adam Lefko he's in Bleacher Report. He always says, I can never like say it right, but rising tides, rise all boats or something along those lines. Carson Wentz is that rising tide. He makes everybody better. And people know that. Week three, were we not the most excited we were all season?
Oh,
I can remember.
That first
before
drive
that,
when they drove down and scored with Dallas Goedert, I was going nuts.
We said this is the same old Carson. And why do we doubt him? The kid improved statistically in nearly every single category, like you said. He went from near 60% completion percentage last year when he was on pace to win the MVP to 69% this year. The stat I always look is that he's one of three quarterbacks next to Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers that in back-to-back seasons had 21 or more touchdown passes and single-digit interceptions. This guy is good. Why do you think evaluators all around the NFL have been saying if this guy was to get traded, he's a minimum three first-round picks? Because he's good, and because people understand the talent that this individual has.
Right, the value of what Wentz would get compared to Foles should be your answer for who the quarterback should be, right?
100%, yes, and that's exactly what I mean. You look around the league, and I always say that teams like Buffalo that have been stuck in quarterback purgatory have been looking for a guy like Carson Wentz. We got on the Browns. Yeah. Everybody gets on the Browns for not drafting Carson Wentz. Although they have a good Baker Mayfield, he would have been the right pick there. And you see the little mistakes that he makes. Maybe he forces the ball down the field. Maybe he doesn't hit the check down. But you know what? You learn stuff like that. Nick Foles, early in his career, he wasn't doing stuff like that either. Learn and develop stuff like that to take the check down.
He was actually... You know, his interceptions went up in 2014 primarily because he wasn't taking the short stuff. He was taking so many shots down the field.
Yeah, and you look at guys like Brett Favre. Look at how many interceptions he threw. But you're going to take Brett Favre in a must-win game because he's a gunslinger. And people make that comparison to Brett Favre with Carson Wentz all of the time. because people see that elite level talent. Evaluators see that elite level talent. I don't care what the media says. I don't care what fans say. When evaluators and owners and general managers and coaches and scouts see the level of talent that you have,
yeah,
and bring that into your organization and trade away first round picks and multiple other picks to bring you in, there is a reason he was selected so high. Andrew Luck, you're going to write him off after an injury? Yeah, what if they did that and traded him? You would have been stuck with Jacoby Brissett, and Andrew Luck wouldn't have led you on what? He went 9 out of his last 10? That's what good quarterbacks do. You don't find guys like a Carson Wentz every so often. You find guys like Nick Foles all of the time that have these very high ceilings, but at the same time can have very, very low lows. And you saw it in that final game. When they needed to go down the field, they were in Saints territory with a chance to go up 21-0, and he forces the ball to Zach Ertz. That was just unnecessary, and you see that. Will Carson Wentz do some things like that? Yes, but he will continue to grow. He's still young.
I saw the growth this year when it comes to Carson Wentz and when to pick his spots. I mean, he only had 7 interceptions. I thought he was a lot more controlled this year. For the pressure, I feel like some fans are going to hold him to a much higher standard now, even before. I don't feel like he needs to win a Super Bowl to get the monkey off his back for me. Some won't use context. Like, if the team struggles, which I don't think they will with all the assets you were talking about they have, with Carson Wentz being fully healthy, with the way that their season ended, the confidence they have going into 2019. But some are going to just say, I mean, if they maybe make the wild card, oh, see, like, a lot of this is on Carson Wentz. To me, for me and you, most, it's just, if he's the player from last year, regardless of what the team does, we made the right call. And to me, that's going to result in playoffs anyway with how talented this team is. What do you think the point of, for some fans, specifically, the ones that are going to be harder on Wentz, the ones that were for keeping Nick Foles, and for Carson Wentz himself, what counts for them is getting the monkey off his back? Is it making the playoffs? Is it a playoff win? Is it a conference title game? Or is it a Super Bowl?
For them, it's probably a Super Bowl, and that's for people that don't understand context and don't understand that this team was playing way better football down the stretch all around.
What do you think it is for Wentz?
For Wentz?
I feel like it's a playoff win.
Yeah, in his mind, he wants to win that playoff game. Oh, yeah. Dak Prescott has one playoff win. Whipty freaking do. That doesn't make him better than Carson Wentz. I had that argument today on Twitter. People don't understand. QB wins, you say it all the time, don't count for anything. But it'll be good to get him in a playoff game and see how he can do. But in my eyes, what I want to see out of Carson, I want to see him continue to improve that completion percentage, continue to take shots downfield, make some very nice throws into tight windows, and sometimes take the check down. He just needs to improve on little things that he didn't do this year, didn't do last year, and didn't do the year before. And you could look at it and say that he's made leaps and bounds of continued advancement in his game year after year. And even with a broken back. How many times do you have to understand that? People who have broken backs sometimes can't even walk. He's playing a football game in the National Football League as a quarterback, a position where 11 guys on the other team are out to get you. So to say that he underperformed is just completely ridiculous. He had an unbelievable season coming off nine months after an ACL tear. Sometimes it takes up to a year to recover from that, especially in a position like quarterback where you're torquing your body so much and you have to plant your knee, and that plays a big
role. He wants to be, too. It's harder. It's going to be easier for a guy like Tom Brady to come back from a torn ACL.
Definitely.
Based on what type of player he is. And look, I think 2019, I think we're a very special year with Carson Wentz, because, look, if he combines what he did in 2017 with what he did in 2018, because I think this year it was a lot better when it comes to, all right, I'm just going to take over the middle. I have that 10-yard pass to Zach Ertz instead of forcing it in double coverage. But at the same time, I feel like he watched Nick Foles and giving Alshon Jeffrey some more chances on jump balls. But Carson Wentz did that a whole lot in 2017. A lot of it had to do with health as to why he wasn't doing it. But I feel like he learned a lot being injured, that he took what was, you know, being given to him by the defense. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to combine all of that in 2019, and I think he's going to blow up this year. And look, the pressure's going to be on. Full stands are going to make it a lot worse. I hope they don't. I can't believe we're going to – if we do this again to a franchise quarterback, that's the – to me, McNabb was the best quarterback the Eagles have ever had before Carson Wentz. and Eagles fans were brutally harsh on McNabb throughout his entire career. If they do that again, if he silences the false narratives that were created for him this year, all of those fans that are pro Foles are going to be back railing around Carson Wentz like they were in 2017. But just, Eagles fans, I'm begging you, please don't do this again to Carson Wentz, what you did to Donovan McNabb. I just pray they don't.
Let's just put it this way. Do you know that team, the New England Patriots? They're pretty good at football, right?
Pretty good, yeah, pretty good.
A couple years ago, a gentleman named Tom Brady tore his ACL. Matt Castle, a young, no-name quarterback, comes in. They go 11-5. What if they said, okay, Matt Castle is good enough to win us 11 football games? What if we traded Tom Brady? Mm-hmm. Good way to put it, right? Though Carson Wentz doesn't have some Super Bowls, he still has the talent of an upper-level quarterback. Yes, Nick Foles played great. He played well enough to get them into the playoffs down the stretch. They played well in the playoffs both this year and last year, and they won some football games. But the thing is, like I said yesterday, he has that 80% ceiling. He's the safe play. He's the, okay, we'll bring in a guy that knows the system and can play well in the system. Can we plug and play another quarterback?
But I don't even think he's like the safe play. I think Carson Wentz, like his low is much better than what Nick Foles is. I just think
that's
the
what
narrative,
I'm saying. Yeah,
100%. I just think the narrative this year, there was a bunch of them. Like you mentioned in the first segment, that he isn't clutch narrative, which me and you kind of killed. The injury-prone narrative, which I don't agree with. While I think the injury concerns is the biggest concern with Carson Wentz, I don't think he's injury-prone.
Like,
the
Peyton Manning missed almost two full seasons. Like, why are we even talking about this?
Yeah, I don't think he's the next Sam Bradford, where we have to worry about his knees every year. But there's just nothing else for me to worry about that I guess you could say injuries are the number one. But the one that drove me the most nuts, dude, was the take that the team plays better with Foles and Doug Peterson's offense works better with Foles. You got to be just completely ignoring what happened in 2017 then if you believe that, because the last time Carson Wentz was healthy, this was the best team in football. I truly believe that if Carson Wentz never got hurt last year, they still win the Super Bowl. If he was healthy this year, like if you put a healthy Carson Wentz in against the Rams, against the Texans, against the Redskins, against the Bears in the playoffs, and this team was still playing at the high level they were around Nick Foles, Carson Wentz isn't holding you back. That's the thing we have to change our mindset. Just because Nick Foles was dominating doesn't mean Carson Wentz wouldn't have. That's the thing is, I'm all for
context.
I understand.
People don't get the
context. I'm all for talking up Foles. I understand if fans believe in Nick Foles. It's hard not to as a diehard Eagles fan seeing Nick Foles out-duel Tom Brady and win a Super Bowl and not believe in that guy. I get that. But when it comes to doing that at Wentz's expense, that's when I draw the line, because we are in a unique situation where we have two of the greatest most talented quarterbacks the Eagles have ever had, one of the best QB situations in NFL history. I mean, we talk about the 49ers with Joe Montana and Steve Young. This is the similar scenario with what the Eagles have. And just because one you believe in, you don't knock down the other, and you saw a lot of that with all these narratives that formed around Wentz just to defend Nick Foles, and that's what drove me crazy. I mean, me and you haven't attacked Nick Foles to talk up Carson Wentz.
No, never, and there's no reason to. It's not a Dak versus Foles. It's a Carson versus Foles. They're on the same team. Like, why can't we build everybody up? Like, do you have to compare Derek Barnett and Brandon Graham and tear one of them down versus the other? No, they're both very good in their respective games. And the same thing with Nick and Carson. We've come to a point where we just have to bash everybody for some reason. There's no reason to. We finally have an elite football team.
Too.
Oh, yeah. Sidney Jones, apparently he's the worst cornerback they've seen since Kerry Williams.
It was Rasul Douglas before Sidney Jones. Before that, it was Jalen Mills.
There always has to be a scapegoat for something. And let's just realize that we've had scapegoats. We've had Kerry Williams. We've had Bradley Fletcher.
Warranted, yeah.
We've had Broderick Bunkley. We've had Danny Watkins. We've had all of these bad players, and now we have elite players. And it's tough to understand. It's tough for me to realize that we are one of the better teams in the NFL. It's so weird. Like I said, I told my girlfriend the other day that this isn't always what it's like to be an Eagles fan, but maybe we're seeing the change in the culture. Watching that video of Doug Peterson after that game and saying that he loves every single one of them and they play like a family and brothers support each other. That's what they are. That's what this team is. They don't listen to the outside noise. They don't tear each other down. They build each other up, and that's what good teams do. You look at a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, a storied franchise. Right now, they're the laughing stock of the National Football League, and they have more talent than most teams in the NFL. But Big Ben doesn't support his wide receivers. Le'Veon Bell is sitting out. There's all this stuff going on.
Imagine if it was Big Ben that went down and Nick Foles took over. Like, that would be a huge problem in that team.
Definitely, because those guys didn't. A lot of people don't support Ben, and you see your top player in an Antonio Brown doesn't even want to play with your quarterback. Like, that's crazy. Alshon Jeffrey, who is one of the best quarterbacks, helped us win a Super Bowl. Said he came here for one reason. Do you know what that reason was?
Yeah, it was to win, and a lot of it was because of Carson Wentz.
He said to play with Carson Wentz. Recognize that talent, and they see it all the time. Like. You hear Josh Norman and how much he loves Carson Wentz, and he's on the opposing team. Like, it's okay to recognize good talent. Like, he's a very good player, and people see that. And it's not to say Nick is bad. People support Nick. You see Michael Bennett. He said he'll never doubt anything that Nick Foles says, and it's okay to have good talent at one position. You look at the New York Yankees when they had guys like Roger Clemens and Randy Johnson, two elite pitchers. You didn't have to tear one of them down to build one of them up. You say, okay, we have all this talent. Let's go. Let's go beat everybody. Let's see if these teams can beat elite talent.
Yeah, and it just so happens that quarterback is a position where only one guy can be on the field. And look, the Eagles have the best quarterback situation right now that they've ever had in NFL history. And that's why I tried so hard in Eagles history. And that's why I tried so hard to enjoy this, because we knew next year this wasn't going to be the case, because Nick Foles is good enough to be a starting quarterback on another team. And history has shown that choosing Wentz over Foles is actually the right call. We're going to get into that next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles. So there's not a whole lot of comparables with this Wentz-Foles situation. Foles is still 30 years old. He's going to be a good starting quarterback somewhere else. He's coming off a playoff win against the number one ranked defense in the Chicago Bears, almost beating the number one seed New Orleans Saints a year before. He won the Super Bowl, won Super Bowl MVP. So I went back to the history of like quarterback conflicts, and there wasn't a whole lot of similar scenarios. But the ones that I did see that were kind of close, seeing the Eagles choose Carson Wentz, it made me feel better looking at what those teams decided to do. You look back to the New England Patriots, Geno. Drew Bledsoe went in the game when Tom Brady got hurt in the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And while it's a smaller sample size than Nick Foles doing it 2 years straight, Drew Bledsoe won that football game, made the Super Bowl for the Patriots for a second time. This is the thing. Drew Bledsoe played in a Super Bowl as the starting quarterback for the Patriots against the Green Bay Packers, much like Nick Foles played in the Super Bowl for the Eagles in 2017. But the Patriots decided to go with the younger quarterback, the quarterback that was more talented. Although, I mean, back and forth, you'd probably say Drew Bledsoe had a better arm, but more so, it was Tom Brady had the potential. He was younger. This could be a guy that's your quarterback for the next 10, right now it's like, what, 20 years at this point. Mm-hmm. They chose Brady over Bledsoe. How about the Indianapolis Colts? Yeah, could they have had three more dominating years of Peyton Manning like the Denver Broncos did? You know, Peyton Manning set records in, what, 2013? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2013, because I remember because the Eagles got blown out by that team in week four.
Yeah, they got smoked.
Yeah, while the Colts, they could have kept Peyton Manning and made a couple of runs, much like the Eagles. Yeah, they could make three more runs with Nick Foles. Or the Colts decided they stuck with Andrew Luck, the younger quarterback, that's going to have just as high of a ceiling, and the Colts are better for it because Andrew Luck is playing at the highest of his abilities right now, getting the Colts into the second round. How many didn't he throw for like 35 touchdowns this year?
Yeah, he's going to be the comeback player of the year, no doubt.
Yeah, he was second behind Mahomes, right? So, and meanwhile, Peyton Manning's been out of the game for 2 years already, and you saw the drop-off in 2016. I'm not comparing Foles to Manning, but it's just the choosing the younger guy with more promise and longer tenure and how it's worked out for these teams. How about, I mean, this is a kind of a crazier one, but not sticking with Tim Tebow after the Broncos beat the Steelers in the playoff game, right? Because it was magic, much like the Foles magic, although Nick Foles is 1,000 times better of a quarterback than Tim Tebow. Not trying to compare the two at all, but it's more so the situation where here are the Broncos. They have this quarterback that catches magic with a team that his defense carried him into it. They were dominating. Their offensive line was playing good. The weapons are the run game with Willis McGahee and Tim Tebow. And yet, the Broncos were like, no, we're going to find an elite quarterback. They end up signing Peyton Manning in free agency. You see, even heck, Patrick Mahomes over Alex Smith. Alex Smith had playoff success. They still went with the younger quarterback that could potentially be a top-tier quarterback in the league, and that's what Patrick Mahomes is now, 50 passing touchdowns later. They're not all great comparisons. They're not perfect, but I think those show that the Eagles are making the right call.
Yeah, and you can even take the Buffalo Bills, for example. They didn't go to the playoffs for nearly 20 years. Tyrod Taylor takes them there, and what do? A couple months later, they shipped them out of freaking town.
And they made the right call.
Exactly, and when there is talent that you don't see every single year, but you see Tyrod Taylors of the world, you see Tim Tebow's of the world, you even see Nick Foles of the world. Before that Super Bowl run, who was Nick Foles? He was a guy that was middling, trying to figure out what his place was, finally yep. accepts his role as a backup, and comes into a system that let him prosper. And that's what they did. I said at the last after the Bears game that I don't think Nick Foles really elevate him after that game, and I just think Carson Wentz elevates everybody so much more and just give this team a full offseason. They definitely were coming off a Super Bowl hangover this year. They definitely didn't have the play that they had for Nick Foles down the stretch with Carson Wentz early in the year. There's so much context to be put behind it, but look, Nick Foles, he's going to have his number retired. I love everything he's ever done. He gave me the happiest moment in my entire life.
100%.
A couple of the top 10 moments of my life, that Minnesota game, the Cody Parkey game. I'm never going to forget those moments. And that's what you have to do, and you don't have to tear them down. McNabb with the same thing. Michael Vick even gave us some good moments. Let's just cherish these guys for what they were and now let the youth prosper. Let Carson Wentz prosper. Bring in weapons to let him prosper. Bring him in an Ezekiel Elliott or a Todd Gurley and let him prosper. Bring in a healthy defense that's young and let him prosper. These guys are going to do great. They're on the road to being a dynasty. Let's stop tearing them down. Support our guys like we did with Alshon after the worst moment of his entire career. And let's build up our Eagles, because there's a lot of outside noise. We all know how it goes, that nobody likes us. And guess what? We really don't care. But we support our guys. We love our Eagles, regardless who's at the helm. Fly, Eagles, fly. I'll leave you at that.
It is official. Carson Wentz has been named. And I'm not trying to say, like, he was named, like, the future of the franchise. But he basically was. I mean, Doug Peterson went to the podium. The first question they asked him was, is Carson Wentz the quarterback moving forward? And he confirmed it. Me and Gino giving our reactions. Hope you enjoy today's edition of Locked On Eagles. If you like this podcast, and maybe you're a first-time listener, go check out our other stuff on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere you find podcasts. We are up and available on those platforms. And as always, on LockedOnEagles.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE and Gino at Gino_LOE and the official Locked On Eagles Twitter account at Locked On Birds. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. And let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.